Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, December the 9th, 2013. Hope you're having a good day. We're off to a good week. We are live here each weekday from 12:04 to 1 o'clock, and our host station is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, TucsonCitizen.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and home of, also on the homepage of Blog for Arizona. Today's noon hour, of course, includes the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Vince Robigo. Half past the hour, our Arizona Water Quarterly series with David Modier. Mr. Modier heads up the Central Arizona Project. Then we'll close out the show, talk a little bit about whatever happened to Comet Ison. Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO of Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, joins us, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to contribute, we would like to hear from you. We also invite you to take a look at our Facebook page. Easy to find. It's my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we invite you to become a friend of the show and join more than 3,000 other listeners of the Buckmaster Show who check in with us on Facebook. Our Monday Political Face-Off features Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is the National Republican Committeeman for Arizona, and Vince Robigo is with us. Vince, a Democrat candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2010. The Monday Political Face-Off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was over at Moe's saying hello to his family. They have family run since 1985 over there on Saturday. They're doing very well this holiday season, and they want to thank all of the Buckmaster Show listeners for the support that our listeners have shown to Mo. I mean, if you have any kind of framing needs this holiday season, I strongly recommend a visit to Mo's. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Gentlemen, how are you today? Vince and Bruce, how are things going?
Doing well. Doing well.
What
good
a
to
weekend,
be here.
Huh?
What a great weekend
Did
for
you
Arizona
catch any
basketball.
Of that? Yeah, great weekend for Arizona basketball. We're back number one in the country, first time in about a decade. And the Wildcats will be going to a football bowl game in Shreveport, Louisiana on New Year's Eve, actually, Bruce.
It'll be the first game on New Year's Eve morning. And if I can, Bill, just indulge me for half a second, sending out get well wishes to fellow talk show host here on KVOI, Emil Franzi, who had a successful surgery last Monday and feeling better. He was a guest on his own show.
Yeah,
he turned the tables on him.
Yeah, you were hosting for Emil on Saturday, and Emil called in.
He did, and he sounded, you know, he was just in great shape, and happy that Donna DeFiore from Delectables had told him that she would puree a lasagna for him when he was able to eat a little more solid foods.
Well, that's good news, and we hope he has a very speedy recovery, and sounds like he's off to a pretty good start.
I think so.
One of the things, Bruce, you talked about, you interviewed the chair of the Republican Party in Maricopa County. I guess they had a big summit meeting up there in Phoenix last week, and things went pretty well. I guess everybody seemed to be on the same page.
Yeah, they were. And you know, when I hear that there's going to be a panel discussion about the future of the Republican Party, you know, like Vin sometimes has these, you know, the antennas go up within the Democratic Party. When people start talking like that, you think, oh, my goodness, what are they going to be talking about now? But it was a nice event wherein very divergent parts of our political leadership got together and essentially said, you know, we do disagree on certain things, but we need to be resilient enough and divergent enough in order to understand that, you know, we have to win elections, and in order to do so, we have to put aside some of our personal opinions and respect others and work for the good of the party and the good of our state and country.
Vince, when you hear that, what do you think of?
Well, you know,
you say you've heard it before.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think, you know, the reality is what, you know, talk is one thing, and the reality of what's happening on the ground in terms of policies being pushed, in terms of the political rhetoric, you know, the American public sees what it sees, and you know, we'll see what happens there. You know, if things can change on their side of the aisle, I think they will certainly be a better party for it. But I don't see that happening there, at least from my perspective. And I'm on the outside, of course. You know, I'm not there at those meetings that he's going to. But you know, it's been written about all over the country about the great fractures that have occurred, and sort of the creation of the Tea Party element, which has you know, caused tremendous fissures and fractures in their own party and to the American body politic in general.
Bruce?
Well, when you have people like Congressman Carpenter from Pennsylvania who come out publicly and say that millions of people losing their health insurance is a good thing, I think you see the radicalism that exists on the other side, where everybody seems to be in lockstep and saying that the Democratic Party will win in 2014 if they keep talking about all of the good things that will come as a result of the Not-So-Affordable Care Act.
You know, here we go again. Here's where the Republican Party gets themselves trapped. And they get trapped into this old language of trying to cast the Democrats and progressives as, oh, they're radicals. And you just heard it coming out there again. And the problem with the Republican Party is they're not coming out with any new ideas, new proposals. And instead, they just want to – they become the party of no and obstructionism. Now, let's touch briefly upon what was mentioned there and people's policies getting canceled. Again, that's where you have talking points of falling down in the face of facts and reality.
I'm not the one with the talking point sheets in front of me, Vince. Well, you're the one here with all kinds of memos.
Yeah, we can talk about that in a minute, because what I have in front of me are actually two different studies, one by a study that I think Bill wants to talk about later, and another by a different study by the Grand Canyon Institute. Mm-hmm. So these aren't talking points. Okay. But one of the big talking points of the Republican Party has been, oh, these policies are being canceled. People are losing their health care. And, of course, President Obama had made that statement during the campaign that people wouldn't lose their health care. The issue, what people don't realize, what isn't coming out in terms of the facts, is that the policies that are being canceled are those that do not meet legal requirements. So let's say, for example, you had a policy that says we don't cover pre-existing conditions. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's going to get canceled. There's all types of issues where that is junk policies, people that were paying high dollars for either high deductible policies, which do not meet what we have decided as a country should be provided, those are being canceled, and they should be. And then the people get to go and choose the new policies, shop for the new policies, apply for the coverage that is available. So what you see again is trying to cast this albatross of radicalism and look what they're saying, and they have no new ideas other than let's just try to kill the Health Care Act, kill Obamacare. That's what you're going to keep hearing to the next election cycle, and it is not going to work.
Well, one of the memos that you do have actually in front of you is a study that I asked you to check out, and that is about a new study that came out from the Health Systems Innovation Network and the National Center for Policy Analysts, saying that Arizona's Medicaid expansion will cost the state taxpayers almost $1 billion within a decade. Medicaid expansion is often touted as a no-brainer for states, as the federal government promises to pay 100% of the costs through 2016 and 90% thereafter. But Bruce Ash, as they say in this news release, there's no free lunch.
No, there is no free lunch, and young people who are expected to carry the water for this Obamacare are suddenly waking up to the promise that was really a false one when they fell in love with Obamacare a couple of years ago. Vince talks about how this was approved by the people. Well, unfortunately, it was a very obscure maneuver within the rules of the Senate. There were no Republicans who agreed with Obamacare. Obamacare is a cram down of the health care that the President of the United States and Democrat members of the Congress wish to impose upon the American people. And the thing that Vince talks around is that the millions of health insurance policies that have been canceled because they don't meet these new requirements is exactly because of the promise that Mr. Obama made when he said, if you like your policy, you can keep your policy. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Oh, and by the way, Obamacare is going to cost less and you're going to get more. Well, none of those have occurred, and people all over the country, not just young people, but people all across the country are very concerned and very upset with Obamacare now that they know the details after the act was passed.
Well, here's the thing. Anytime Republicans on a majority vote pass a piece of legislation, it's fine and it's the law. But when Democrats do it, oh, it's not the will of the American people. There you go again with the hypocrisy of characterizing anything that is passed with a majority vote by duly elected representatives in our government. That represents the will of the people. The problem, once again, is the Republicans don't want to play by the rules. So then they try to make it sound like as if that was not legitimate when you had a vote to get that by. It's not like this got less than 50% of senators. It's not some sort of weird trick but that's what they try to portray it as. And that's what, again, they're going to lose when it comes down to the facts and as the healthcare rollout. No doubt, I myself was pointing out that the website – and how it rolled out was certainly less than to be desired on a big scale, yeah. A big mess. At the same time, people need to realize that this is the biggest, the largest internet healthcare program rollout in the history of our universe. Think of that. I don't think our government, nobody was ready for that. I don't think they properly planned for it. But as it gets fixed and as the tweaks get made and as this starts going into the next year and the next, you're going to see the benefits of it. People are already talking about it.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here and Vince Robigo. We will be right back on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they save money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here and Vince Ravago. And before the break, and before we turn it over to Bruce, because he had a thought here right before we took the break, this portion of our Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and also they are on Facebook. Bruce, before the break, you were just about ready to make a comment.
Yeah, if I could, respectfully, in response to Vince's comments a second ago, there have been several attempts by numerous members of the Republican leadership in both houses of Congress, and most recently, again, from Congressman Tom Price of Georgia, talking about a Republican plan that would do the following, would create much broader competition and return the free market to medical care, which has really been out of medical care for many, many years, would also incentivize taxpayers when they're paying for their health care, be able to provide the same sort of advantages to them as employers have also. And lastly, I mean no disrespect to Vince when I say this, because a tort reform of some sort, a Texas-style tort reform, which really has had some advantages to it over the past several years, is also part of any responsible response to the direction that the health care is going. As a friend of ours has said, Obamacare doesn't mean that you're going to get health care. It just means that you're going to have a new form of coverage.
So you're saying there is an alternative, is what you're
saying? Well, we think there is, and unfortunately, in the debate that ensued, there were such major restrictions. Remember, both the House and Senate were controlled by Democrats at that time. There were severe limits on debate, on amendments being offered, and I think it's apropos of my comments earlier today. The Democrats who had the Senate have not put any of the 40-plus measures to change or repeal Obamacare on the Senate floor for any debate at all. And that's not what our most deliberative body should be going against.
Well, I would say this. The reality is at the end of the day, the model that was chosen is actually a model developed by conservatives from the Heritage Foundation. If you wanted a democratic model, so to speak, one that was pushed by what I'm sure Bruce would call the liberals or whatever he wants to call them today or on some other show,
leftist.
It was actually a national single-payer healthcare system. And what got passed was actually a private model program that was developed by the conservative Republican-backed Heritage Foundation. So now, 4 years later, they're trying to say, "Oh, we want to present these proposals." The reality is that the proposals that have been put up for a vote routinely in the House, for example, are all about killing the program. This is all about politics trying to deny the president any sort of signature achievement during his term. They've said that from day one in the Senate as well. And so, the reality is people see what's happening. And now as these tweaks get start playing out, where were they 2 years ago? No, they were trying to kill the program. So now they're jumping up and down saying, "Oh, the rollout was bad. The website is failing." Where have they been all this period of time where they could have been working to have a good rollout, embrace the program? Instead, you have lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit filed by Republicans, Republican-controlled legislatures, different states trying to challenge the law. So, no, the deeds speak louder than words, and we've seen the Republican deeds. We've seen them try to kill this. It's not about trying to fix something. They've been trying to kill it from day one, and the public knows that.
Well, this is such a popular law, Vince, that nine Democrat members of the U.S. Senate have actually urged the president to take matters into his hands and repeal certain parts of the law. You can say all you want that this was a Heritage Foundation scheme that has been embraced and adopted by leftists in your party, but that's simply not the case. And at the end of the day, end of the day, what will end up happening, and you've said it on this show, Don Jorgensen has said it, as well as Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you're going to run on Obamacare as a positive, as a really good thing, as the president has referred to it in the 2014 elections, and there probably will be disastrous results.
Actually, I've never said that. We're going to keep running and improving the country, and to the extent this is part of that debate, we're happy to keep pushing and touting the benefits that do come from it. But the reality is you're going to, their party from the Republican side is going to keep just trying a one-song show, and that's about stopping the Affordable Care Act. Bill, if you want to talk about this study, I don't know, mentioned it a moment ago. The reality is I looked at the study, mm-hmm. These proposed costs, what I do not see in this study that was put out by that center that you mm-hmm. mentioned, they do not mention in any sentence, either in the press release or in the report, that actually the costs are being borne by the fees that the hospitals are paying. And so to the extent that you have the 90% paid by the federal government, the other 10% is being paid by these fees. So it seems to me quite strange that the study would not even mention the legal aspects of the cost being borne not by Arizona taxpayers, but by the system that was passed by Arizona lawmakers and signed by the governor. So I'm a little taken aback by that. And I'm really not quite sure that the study doesn't have any details. It's just a couple pages long. I printed it out and read it before I got here. In contrast, the study that was published by the Grand Canyon Institute talks not only about the benefits to the populations that need it, but the jobs that are going to be created and substantially more details where you can look exactly where the numbers coming from. I'd like to see a lot more details because I just don't think that this study is actually addressing all of the facts.
Let's see if we can work Ingrid in on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Ingrid, go ahead.
Hi, just quickly. What did Nancy Pelosi mean when she said, "Let's pass it and we'll look at it"?
Look at it later is, yeah. Okay. Vince, you want to respond to that?
I'm not quite sure what she's referring to.
That's the Affordable Care Act, I believe she's referring to.
I don't know if Nancy Pelosi said that or didn't say that.
Do you want somebody to play the tape for you? Because I'm sure it's there.
I'm happy to play whatever tape
Bruce,
you want.
Bruce, do you want to comment on that?
No, because it's not something that a Republican said. It's something that Speaker at the time, Pelosi, said, that there was really no sense in having this big debate about Obamacare. They were going to pass it, and that we would all find out what it said when it had passed. And that's exactly what happened. It was just as much of a disingenuous comments as the president made when he said you could keep your insurance if you liked it, you could keep your doctor, and Obamacare would cost less. Getting back to the study, because I think that's really a pretty important thing.
We're out of time. Go ahead. Okay.
Well, just real quickly on it. We've seen so far with the Medicare signups, Medicaid signups, that a vast number of people will be opting into that, and it's going to become a very, very big budget hole in 3 years when the feds start pulling out.
Paid for by the hospitals.
The Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. South Africa preparing a soccer stadium for a massive memorial tomorrow honoring Nelson Mandela. Workers today have been constructing a stage protected by bulletproof glass for the event, expected to bring nearly 100 heads of state together. Defense Secretary Hagel is ordering the U.S. military to transport troops from Burundi into the Central African Republic to help quell the latest upsurge in violence there. Anti-government protests have crippled the Ukrainian capital for yet another day, and an opposition party says heavily armed riot troops broke into the party's offices today in Kiev and confiscated some computer gear. Stocks modestly higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up about 15 points, the Nasdaq ahead 5, and the S&P 3 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
We want to change the way you think about an art gallery. This is Diana Medeiros inviting you to join this radio station and me at Medeiros Gallery this Thursday, anytime between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. for the KVOI-KCEE Holiday Shopping Day. Come enjoy delicious treats from Guini's French Cafe and take advantage of all the holiday specials just for our listeners, plus giveaways every hour. Medeiros Gallery truly has something for everyone, from beautiful art that will fill your home with color and joy to a huge selection of Southwest gifts, including mosaic cowboy boots, Tucson holiday cards, art calendars, and hard-to-find Southwest ornaments. Medeiros Gallery even has mini canvases, something for everyone on your holiday shopping list. So try something new today and come on over. You will be surprised and delighted. I hope to see you this Thursday, December 12th, at Medeiros Gallery at Campbell and Skyline from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Happy holidays from Medeiros Gallery.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of Metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and once every quarter here on the program, we focus on one of Arizona's most important, if not the most important resource, and that's water, our Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is David Modier, former head of Tucson Water, and now he is general manager of the Central Arizona Project based in Phoenix. David, how are you?
I am just fine, Bill. It's a pleasure speaking with you again.
It's always a pleasure speaking with you, David. What's the latest on the proposed EPA Hays rule for the Navajo Generating Station? It's something we've talked about several times here on our Water Quarterly. I know there were, EPA held a series of public hearings last month on the proposed emissions rule, including one in Tucson. Were the meetings helpful, David Modier?
Well, I would say that they were helpful to the extent that the public hearings could be. There were hundreds upon hundreds of speakers at the five hearings that were held around the state, the three in northern Arizona on Hopi and Navajo land and the city of Page, and then one here in Phoenix and one in Tucson. And the Phoenix and Tucson ones were very well attended. Substantially, the number of comments were split down the middle of those for and against. I would say those four were a much more diverse group for the technical work group's proposal, while those who opposed were largely supported by the Sierra Club. But I'm not sure that the EPA heard anything that they haven't heard already, but I think the fact that so many people were willing to turn out and express their opinions to the EPA certainly has got to prove to be reinforcing the idea that this is a very important subject to Arizona and key to our economy. So I do think in those terms, I think they helped.
And of course, the Navajo Generating Plant is the power plant that provides more than 90% of CAP's power, so it's very important. So what happens now? What's next on the timeline?
Well, it continues to be the public comment period. There won't be any more hearings, but there is the opportunity for those who receive CAP water, either directly, such as agriculture or the Native American tribes, or indirectly through a city's water supplies, like Tucson, whose water supply is largely now Colorado River water, to submit comments to the EPA relative to the proposals that the EPA has put out there, two by the EPA, and then the technical work group proposal, which is termed a better than BART proposal. Which is probably the only way that the plant will continue to operate, is to have that proposal substantially adopted.
David, I want to talk a little bit about the status of the Colorado River. It was a pretty wet November here in, certainly in Tucson, a number of other places in the Southwest. Did that make a dent in the water shortage, the drought on the Colorado River?
Well, it's a little early to tell about the precipitation we've had so far this winter, beginning in November. It will really be dependent upon what happens in January, February, and March. But we did have an addition to the reservoir levels with the monsoon season this summer. We had more than we usually get, and monsoon rains in Colorado, as you can remember, the significant flooding that occurred in the Denver area, Boulder, Colorado area. That some of that spilled over onto the West Slope, and so we did get additional supply this summer, which is a little bit unusual, and we saw a several-foot rise in the reservoir. So at this stage, it looks like the onset of any shortage will probably now be 2017 rather than 2016 if we don't get a good winter, which it started off pretty good, but we will see. We've seen that happen before and then sort of evaporate before our eyes.
How is CAP preparing for a shortage, David?
Well, we've been preparing for quite a while. We mostly with recharging water in the ground in order that we can withdraw that from the ground when a shortage does occur to keep our customers whole as a shortage progresses into a more significant cutback on CAP supply out of the Colorado. We are also working very, very hard with the seven basin states and particularly the states of Nevada and California to try to find some outside-the-box ideas about what we can do to stave off a shortage. We know there are ideas out there that can save enough water to keep us from going into shortage in the near term here. It's getting the will out of all the states in order to implement some of these ideas. Everyone will have to give up something. That includes the state of California, which has the highest priority for water use. But it's imperative. We'll all be significantly impacted if we can't reach an agreement that can offset the overdraft, particularly the overdraft of water out of the Colorado and the lower basin. We hope that in the coming months that there will be some type of agreement that we can put into place early in 2014 to begin cutting back on water use.
David Modira is with us from the Central Arizona Project. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim has a question. I believe it's our friend Jim Kelly. Go ahead, Jim. You're with David Modira.
Good afternoon, David. Here's an out-of-the-box idea. India is laying solar panels across canals to cut down on the evaporation of the water, and it's also producing power. Is that something that the state of Arizona, that the Central Arizona Project, would consider taking a look at as a project?
Well, we have looked at that several times, and the difficulties we have in doing that are at least two major issues, and one is that we have over 50 different structures that need maintenance along the canal, because this is not a canal that flows by gravity. It's pumped water uphill, and it pumps water in stages up to 3,000 foot to get water to Arizona. So we have many facilities, check stations and pump stations and diversion points that need continual maintenance along the canal. Having solar panels over the canal would inhibit that process, which is the largest part of our operation, is maintaining the system along the way down the 330 miles to Tucson. The second issue is that of transmission of power that would be generated. The economies of installing new transmission facilities, timing and getting siting approvals to do that, as well as the cost of erecting transmission, is very expensive. So while it sounds like it's a good solution, I think there are better ways that we're looking at that may enable us to utilize some renewable energy like solar to help in peaks. And we, along with our board of directors, are studying those issues quite intently right now.
All right, let's see if we can squeeze one more question in for David Modira of the Central Arizona Project. We have another David on the line. David, you're with David.
I just want to commend you. That's a good idea of recharging surplus water. We're going to have a surplus, so we'll have some for the lean years. The other thing is the long-term issue is we've got way too many people in Arizona. We can't not sustain more population growth. This is long-term. I've gone to the seminars on the three-ring research, and they all indicate that it's going to get a lot hotter and drier.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we can't sustain more population growth because people are 70% water and require large amounts of water. You just can't do it.
Okay, David, thank you very much. The climate certainly is changing, David Modira.
Well, it is changing. Certainly, every indication is that we are entering a stage in global climate that where we're getting hotter temperatures in many, many places around the world, and there are impacts of that. Certainly, that was a part of the basin study that we were concerned with, is the impacts on the flow of water in the Colorado and the amount of precipitation, which would be ending up in the upper Colorado, where most of our water for the Colorado River originates. So it is an issue. We are working together with the other states and with the NGOs and environmental groups and the federal government to try to find the ways to be more resilient and provide ways to sustain the flows to keep our current uses as long as we possibly can. It is a challenge. It requires not only a lot of ingenuity, a lot of thinking beyond where we are today, but it includes a lot of compromises among the seven states and everyone else, the stakeholders who are involved in this process. There's no silver bullet. There's no easy solution to this.
All right, David Modier, thank you. It's always a pleasure having you on our Arizona Water Quarterly segment. It's important information. David, I want to wish you and yours the very best during this holiday season. Thank you, sir.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. David Modier of the Central Arizona Project with us on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Monday afternoon. Rosemary Brandt, our ace producer, ready to take your call. It's 790-2040. And Mark Sykes joins us now. But before I turn it over to Mark, I want to say this portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just three and a half hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, where they have so many wonderful art galleries. One of America's top 100 arts communities. You can find out more about Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org, and they have the complete listing of the really fine places to stay in Silver City, including Spirit Canyon Lodge and Agave Ridge Retreat. Again, it's southwestnewmexico.org. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute, which next year celebrates its 42nd year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, the former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
I'm great. It's great to be here.
What happened to Comet Ison?
Oh,
I was so looking forward to taking a look at that after it came out around its journey around the sun. But I guess the only thing that came out were a few pieces of Comet Ison.
Yeah, I think we should no longer call anything the comet of the century. I think it's like a curse going back to Kohoutek in the 70s.
Oh, man.
But yeah, no, it got very close to the sun, about 10 solar radii, and the temperatures there are extremely hot, and comets are made up of a mixture of ice and rock. And so, you know, you can have explosive devolatilization, and I think that poor comet just kind of broke up into pieces, and now it's coming back along its orbit as a stream of debris.
As an evaporative cooler somewhere. No, it's, yeah, put the ice close to the sun, and it's gone.
No good will happen.
No. China launched its first moon rover mission, and the countdown has begun to the Chinese actually landing on the surface of the moon with this rover. This will be the third country that will actually have some kind of a presence or made a presence on the lunar surface after the United States. Of course, there was Russia. Now we have China.
Yes, it's going to be quite an exciting event. In fact, if you look at pictures of their lander, it's about the size of our lunar module, that the lander part of the module that took the Apollo astronauts down to the surface of the moon. They're preparing for more. You know, they got a 120-kilogram rover on this thing. So it's a little rover on this big lander that's going to come off, and it's got panoramic cameras. It's got ground-penetrating radar, which will penetrate about 90-odd feet, some spectrometers to understand the surface composition. But the ground-penetrating radar is interesting because that'll be very complementary with our GRAIL mission that just completed. But they're going to be using the same system to land another rover this next year, and then a sample return mission, and ultimately they do plan to send people to the moon.
So this is really could be the first step to really lay out their future plans to put Chinese astronauts on the moon.
Absolutely, and it's also a step in their solar system exploration program. They've demonstrated some great navigational capabilities in taking their Chang'e 2. Which was orbiting the moon, do some maneuvers, and then fly by the near-Earth asteroid to TOTUS, which flew by a year ago. In fact, it was around December. And so it's December 14th, in fact, I think. So, yes, they're pushing forward on all fronts.
And it's called a Long March Rocket.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they call it.
Oh, they've had that, they've had that for years, yeah.
The Long March Rocket, mm-hmm, and it will be landing Saturday, then?
Well, the rocket, that's the launch vehicle.
Okay. But you know, the actual soft landing, the attempt, will be on Saturday?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, this Saturday. Moon's not that far away.
No, it's yeah, it's not been that long a trip. Not like
but
Mars.
It's exciting, and it'll be they'll be sending back streaming video, so hopefully we'll all get to see, you know, what's going on.
Since we saw you last, the White House unveiled a new U.S. space transportation policy. Kind of controversial, to say the least.
Oh, well, I don't have the details mm-hmm. at my fingertips, but I think that it was still pushing for making use of the new launch vehicle mm-hmm. capabilities, these mm-hmm. private companies
right.
That have developed, like SpaceX, while at the same time committing to the continued investment in the very large SLS system for launching very large payloads into space.
It calls on federal agencies to continue supporting the development of, you say, the private American spaceships to carry astronauts to and from low Earth orbit. Mm-hmm. For example, directing NASA to keep working on a heavy lift rocket mm-hmm. to send people much further afield.
Yeah, the heavy lift rocket is really the perhaps more controversial portion of it because it's so expensive that it may be only used once a year or something like that, and there's right now there's no goal for it. Whereas as far as the smaller rockets that have been developed by these other companies, you know, if it costs us less money to get from the surface of the Earth to the space station or wherever else, then you know it's good to save our bucks.
Going to Mars, billionaire, a gentleman by the name of Dennis Tito, T-I-T-O, mm-hmm. has talked about planning a manned mission to Mars in 2017. That's right around the corner. It seems like it's a pretty narrow timetable there.
Well, yeah, but I think it's all involved with medical marijuana, and I think that the and he also wants the American taxpayer to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's a no-go.
He calls it Inspiration Mars.
Well, that's nice.
The former engineer who made a fortune in the investment management business, and he has big dreams for Mars, but It does point out that we are going more into the private missions. I mean, that could be the future of space travel.
Well, it's certainly going to be an expansion of space travel because at the end of the day, it's where are you going to get the return on your investment? And so companies like Virgin Galactic, mm-hmm. they're opening up a new market of space tourism to take people up into low Earth orbit and bring them back down again. For companies like SpaceX to take astronauts to the space station, well, that's really just the government because that's the government purchasing the services of a private corporation like they do right now. So when the government's a vendor, it's kind of a different deal. Or not the vendor, but the customer. You know, it's a different deal. And as far as exploration is concerned, space science and even human exploration, that I think it's going to be a government-led thing for a long time because, you know, I should say our community, it's us getting together, decide, hey, we want to do this and pooling our resources through the government to send people and explore out there to see what's there and better understand our own planet in that context.
Dr. Mark Sykes with the Planetary Science Institute. I urge everyone to go to psi.edu for more information about the Planetary Science Institute. I'm a member of that group, and I urge everyone to be a member. And the research alone that's going on, my goodness, you're in, let's see if I've got this right, 20 states and probably at least a dozen countries.
10, that's pretty close. 10. Yeah,
so
that's
it's
good.
Pretty close. So you've got lots of research dollars, and that money is based here in Tucson. So mm-hmm. the economic driver is substantial.
Yes, yes.
Dr. Mark Sykes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Culligan provides all the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round commercial and residential water needs. We thank Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5 right here in this very studio. AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. And we'll be back with you tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. We'll talk about economic development. Larry Hecker will be with us. And Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show Consumer Affairs contributor. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.